Peace and blessings, y'all, and welcome to Keeping It Real. In this Palestine special episode, we're talking about the United Nations. So welcome, my dear compadres, to Keeping It Real. In this episode, we're talking about the United Nations in our Palestine special episode. And I know, don't worry, it's all under control, because I know you compadres and compadre females out there be thinking, why in the world would we be talking about the United Nations in a Palestine special episode? Well, take it easy, because everything is going according to plan. So yes, the United Nations was created under the suggestions slash order of the United States of America and Britannia post-World War II. And according to their schnazzy little website, the United Nations has four main purposes. Number one, to keep peace throughout the world. Number two, to develop friendly relations among nations. It kind of rhymes. And number three, we're going to read so we don't get in trouble, to help nations work together to improve the lives of poor people, to conquer hunger, disease, and illiteracy, and to encourage the respect for each other's rights and freedoms. That was like more than one thing in one thing. They're doing it a keep it real type style. And number four, we're also going to read because we can't memorize it, is to be a center for harmonizing the actions of nations to achieve the aforementioned goals. No comment, because the episode is just going to become much more longer than, you know, we're allowed to have. And apparently the United Nations is also made up of a few organs. I mean, what a, you know, weird way to describe, you know, the different subsidiaries of the United Nations. They call it organs, you know, so it's like, who's the... Let's hope we get past the censorship board. So when talking about the main organs of the United Nations, the first one that we want to really quickly talk about is the General Assembly. And so the General Assembly is the main deliberative assembly of the United Nations. That means the back and forth debates. And that means keep the nations busy in useless discussions going back and forth. Because the real power lays somewhere else, aka the Security Council. And that means the unelected few that are at the top who are truly in control of everything. And of course, the General Assembly is composed of 193 states. Well, actually, it's 192 states because Israel ain't a state. Wah! And an interesting thing here is that, like the notorious Italian mafia, you know, members have to pay fees if they want to be a part of the UN mafia. So you got to pay up if you want to be a member. And the second organ is the UN Secretariat. Not to be confused with the movie, The Secretariat. Sorry.
Is that a movie?
It's a movie. And so the UN Secretariat are the fat cats that do the day-to-day activities that are required to manage and operate the United Nations. And of course, one of their main goals is to keep intact the UN mafia Ponzi scheme fraud system. Ouch. We're hitting them where it hurts. So the current poupée, that's puppet in Keeping It Real English, is a Mr. Antonio Guterres. And before that, we had a Mr. Ban Ki-moon. And before him was Mr. Kofi Annan. And before him was Mr. Boutros Ghali. And of course, the people before that, I don't remember because I wasn't born yet, because I'm still a young'un. And to be quite honest, I really don't even remember Mr. Ban Ki. Let's hope we pass the censorship board. We're not doing it on purpose. And of course, the next organ that we're going to be talking about is the United Nations Security Council. And the United Nations Security Council is charged with maintaining peace and security among nations. And it is this main organ, the UN Security Council, which decides and has the last say on all matters. Good episode. Yeah, because it doesn't matter what those regular countries say down there in the General Assembly. You know, they just keep on discussing amongst one another. But what really matters is what us, you know, people on the above UN Security Council have to say about everything. Dumb General Assembly members. And guess who just happens to conveniently be amongst the permanent members that have absolute veto rights? Yup, you got it. It's the trio of trouble. the United States of America, Britannia, and France. And of course, you have a couple of other members that are part of the permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, but they usually don't know what to do with veto rights. We're doing good, right? Yeah. And there's two other organs of the United Nations. The one is the International Court of Justice, and the other is the Economic and Social Council, but we really don't have time to talk about them because we're trying to make the episode as short as possible by the grace of Allah. And to be honest with you, I really don't think they do much anyways. And apparently the United Nations is primarily funded in absolute terms, you know, whatever that means, by the United States of America, who just happens to be the overall largest guy who's funding the bill of $14.1 billion a year. $14.1 billion a year. And second up is the state of Germania, who is the second largest overall guy funding the bill for the United Nations. But unfortunately, despite being the second largest overall funder of the United Nations, you know, they don't have the right to veto anything, and they're not part of the Security Council because they lost World War I and World War II. There you go. In your face, Germany. Even though that's quite messed up, how you got the, you know, the people in Germania paying the second largest bill of the United Nations, but you don't give them a veto, you know, in the mafia. And apparently 4 of the 5 main organs of the United Nations are headquartered in New York City, New York State, United States of America. If you guys are paying attention, all of what we are saying is pertinent to the discussion. Like, hint, hint, pay attention. So after all this info knowledge that we just kind of kamikaze fired out there one after the other in the last hopefully few minutes that have just passed by, hopefully few minutes, right? That, you know, it should lead you to wisdom, unlike a 1 minute wisdom. And, you know, when we talk about kamikaze fire, who can forget the Islamic Republic of Iran and their kamikaze stuff, you know, when they get a little bit serious, the way that things go down, thank God they didn't get, you know, really serious, because then, like, been a game over. So all you poopays out there and doggies of whatever kind you are, just, you know, pray to God that the Islamic Republic of Iran just stays on the sidelines. So yes, kamikaze. Well, really quickly, we want to bring forth some quotes from the United Nations, and I promise I am doing my best to speak as fast as my brain can allow me to speak, so that we make this episode as short as possible. That's probably the end of the sentence. It's what happens when the brain doesn't function as fast as the tongue does. They do say that the sword is sharper than the blood or something like that. Sorry, the pen is sharper than the sword. The pen. So the reason that the research department and the scripting department and the research and analysis department and all the other departments that are involved in the Islamic Pulse, you know, studios, the reason that they wanted to bring up these United Nations quotes from the various United Nations officials is so that the brothers and sisters and the compadres and the compadre females out there know that the United Nations knows precisely what is going on in Palestine post October the 7th. So these quotes reflect what has been happening over the last 6 months. Now, please just keep in mind that we are only trying to prove that the United Nations knows precisely what is going on in the lands of Palestine at the hands of the Zionist regime of Israel post October the 7th. So cool, man. Who came up with that? Okay, so in the name of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and salutations be upon Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, and may the refuge and salvation appear quickly. Wa'ajjal farajhum is easier to say it in Arabic. So number one is the UNRWA Commissioner, Mr. Philippe Lazzarani. He says that, we're going to read so that, you know, we don't get in trouble because we're quoting. Today's attack on one of the very few remaining UNRWA distribution centers in the Gaza Strip comes as food supplies are running out, hunger is widespread, and in some areas turning into famine. So, what should the United Nations do? And reportedly, the same fat cat, the big dog, the Commissioner General of the UNRWA, Mr. Lazzarani, also said that 165 UN team members have been killed while in the line of duty, of course, by the Israeli doggies. And they have killed more than 400 people who were sheltering in United Nations buildings, and they have also lost their lives due to Israel's attacks. So, what should the United Nations do? So Mr. Philippe talked a little bit too much than he was allowed to speak, and he let out a little secret. He said that more than 150 of the UNRWA's agency's facilities, including schools and shelters, have been hit in this war by the Zionist regime, because it's really a genocide, with some totally destroyed. And UNRWA staff have reportedly been mistreated and humiliated while in Israeli detention centers. So, what should the United Nations do? Next up, UN Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women and Girls, Ms. Reem Al-Salem, or Al-Salem, or Al-Salim, I don't know, said the violence inflicted on Palestinian women and children could qualify as acts of genocide under Article 2 of the Genocide Convention, namely acts that relate to imposing measures intended to prevent births within a specific group. So what should the United Nations do? And so the same lady, Ms. Reem, also reported that with 70% of the dead being women and children, and as I said at the opening of the Commission of the Status of Women earlier this month, that was whatever month she said this in, this is in a way a war on women and children. As the UN Women, I'm assuming this is a report or something like that, mentioned, 36 women are killed every single day, 2 mothers are killed every single hour, and 19,000 children are estimated by UNICEF, UNICEF, to be orphaned, which means that they have lost both of their parents. Mommy and daddy are both dead. So what should the United Nations do? Next up, UN Humanitarian Coordinator for the Palestinian Territory, Ms. Lynn Hastings. She says, "We all know that the healthcare system has collapsed. We've got a textbook formula for epidemics and a public health disaster. This is in part, of course, because the shelters have long ago exceeded their full capacity, with people lining up for hours just to get to a toilet." And so what should the United Nations do? Save the Children's Country Director in the Occupied Palestinian Territories, Jason Lee, he says, "What we are witnessing in Gaza is a mass killing of children in slow motion because there is no food left and nothing is getting to these people. They are dying because the world has failed to protect them, and now families are fleeing to Israel's next military target to avoid starvation. They are caught in a death trap." So what should the United Nations do? And according to the United Nations itself, the Israeli war has pushed approximately 85% of Gaza's 2.3 million population into internal displacement amid a crippling blockade of most food, clean water, and medicine, while 60% of the enclave's infrastructure has been damaged or destroyed. So what should the United Nations do? And we're almost done. Miss Philippa Greer, she's a UN something, she said 1.4 million people are amassed in deteriorating conditions, many displaced multiple times. The population has already endured intolerable pain, suffering, hunger, and fear. And that Gaza City, she said, was suffering from acute shortages of shelter, clean water, food, and medicines. So, what should the United Nations do? And finally, the fat cat on top of the UN Secretariat. We already explained to you what all that was, and now you're beginning to understand why we explain so much stuff on Keeping It Real, is so that we teach you information which leads to knowledge, which, by the grace of Allah, leads to wisdom. The UN Secretariat General, Mr. Antonio Guterres, says, The healthcare system is collapsing. Expect public order to completely break down soon. And an even worse situation could unfold, including epidemic diseases and increased pressure for mass displacement into Egypt. I say that we are facing a severe risk of collapse of the humanitarian system. So what should the United Nations do? And last quote before we hit our conclusion is from a report titled The Anatomy of a Genocide. And this was written to the Human Rights Council, which is in Geneva, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in the Occupied Territories, Ms. Francesca Albanese. She says, I find that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the threshold indicating the commission of the crime of genocide against Palestinians as a group in Gaza has been met. Why do they make things so complicated? Just straightforward, be like, all the conditions necessary to call this thing a genocide have been met. You know, they need to watch keeping it real. And she continues and says, I implore member states to abide by their obligations, which start with imposing an arms embargo and sanctions on Israel, and so ensure that the future does not continue to repeat itself. So what should the United Nations do? And so now our conclusion. I tried to talk as fast as my brain could allow. You see, I hanged. And so after all of these quotes, which are in reality only a handful of the countless thousands of quotes that have been out there for the last 6 months as this Israeli genocide is going on upon the poor Palestinian men, women, and children, and the world is watching all of this live, these are just a few of those quotes, which prove, without a doubt, undoubtedly, you know, indeed, inna, in Arabic, that the United Nations knows precisely what is going on the ground in the Palestinian land and the Gaza Strip and even the West Bank, we even talked about that, you know, post October the 7th. And so what's really scary, or perhaps unfortunate, or perhaps it's part of the, you know, United Nations mafia Ponzi scheme fraud system that's going on, is despite all of these quotes that have been put forth by the United Nations and their various different officials, you know, clearly proving that they know exactly what is going on in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank post October the 7th, they have still decided to practically do absolutely nothing. Nada, each, zilch, kuch nahi, niyet, niyet, ina dura bataga batika niyet. Yeah, no, hold on, yeah, so zip, sifr, a big round under, nothing, absolutely nothing. They have done nothing practically on the ground when it comes to this genocide that is happening, you know, to the Palestinians, real life, well over 6 months. They've done nothing, like nothing, practically nothing. And, you know, we already listed the four things that these people are supposed to be doing, which was, you know, it included peace and security among nations and friendly relations among nations and harmony, all this stuff. You know, where are you people at? And it kind of begs the question, you know, you start thinking about who's funding the bill, where their headquarters and their organs be laying at. And so after 6 months of doing absolutely nothing, you know, finally the United Nations, you know, pushes through this ceasefire bogus resolution, and the International Court of Justice, which is another one of the organs of the United Nations, passes some kind of a something, because they make it so complicated that nobody understands what they're saying, both of which have been totally blatantly, you know, not followed and not obeyed by, you know, the Zionist doggies and their Zionist doggy masters. Like, they, you know, it's like, you know, we don't care, United Nations, get out of here, you know? We don't care, International Criminal Court, you know what I mean? You don't court me. And so here is the real conclusion in our conclusion, right? And that is why. Well, it is because the United Nations is a tool. T-W-O-L. If I spelled that correct. And so the tool in the slang definition, you know, the research and department analysis, whatever, they did the research and analysis. The term actually is defined in the slang definition tool of an insecure or foolish or both insecure and foolish person, in this case organization, which is controlled by others, in this case the United States of America, who itself is a tool in the definition that we just listed. And the United Nations has practically done nothing on the ground to save the Palestinians in this ongoing genocide, other than perhaps, you know, throw around some, you know, fancy words, which really they don't impress anybody, because first of all, nobody understands what they're saying, but, you know, they're not impressive as it is. Still, even if they wanted to do something about Palestine, and even if they wanted to save Palestine for whatever reason, they can't! They're not able to, because they're Zio doggy masters wherever they be sitting at. They don't allow them to do anything. I mean, what it comes down to is that the United Nations just, down, doggy, sit. Refer to previous episode to understand what that meant. And so the International Arrogant Powers Order, which includes the United Nations, the United States of America, and its posse members, is completely broken. Because, you know, they're like handicapped. You can't do anything. And so therefore, this international order is completely broken. Busted. The mafia, fraud, Ponzi scheme, mafia system, international humanitarian order is completely broken. And because it's completely broken, well, it ain't gonna last. Like, all broken things don't last. So don't hold your breath. And yes, by the grace of God, the Almighty, the Palestinian resistance is still standing strong. And the Palestinian people are still standing resilient. And the rest of the resistance is also standing pretty darn tall. And it seems like the whole world is about to bring the Zionists and their doggy masters down to their little old wobbly knees. So the United Nations might not do a thing when it comes to save the Palestinian people. And we really never expected them to do so anyways. But we can assure you that the people all across the globe, wherever they are, all across the world, in every little nitty-gritty corner of this planet, will surely get the job done. So just sit back and relax and watch it all play out wherever you are. Hey, we're just keeping it real.
Did you, like, miss anything?
No, man, I didn't miss anything. It was really short, I told you. I tried, man. I was praying, like, all night long. I was like, God, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please, just, you know, somehow make this a short episode. What would be really crazy if it turned out to not be a short episode is, like, shame on me. And the scripting department and the research, we're done. And the research and analysis department, you know.
But the shame should be on the scripting department.
The scripting, ish, man, is the, I keep on telling the scripting department and the research and analysis department, his brothers, like, saluting us, you know, on the, they just don't listen, man. The thing is that there's so much information that you need to kind of consolidate and conglomerate in these episodes, you know, in order to do justice to the subject, you know? No justice, no peace, from the river to the sea, from the people in Brooklyn, NYC, and Cali, LA, what else? Houston, Dallas, Dearborn. When you do some research on these guys like Ban Ki-moon and Kofi Annan and Boutros Ghali, man, you find some crazy stuff about these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, like...
Kofi Annan's wife was like Swedish, white woman. Boutros Ghali's wife, I don't know, she was like Jewish or something like that. The guy, no man, no, that guy was Idi Amin. Yeah, the UN fat cat, yeah, from Ghana. He was African.
He said my leader to Rabbi?
Yeah, man, it's like, you know. Before he was a tool.
Allah Kinam say, we can do this. Bename Khuda, a short, con el nombre de Dios, keeping it real episode. The name of God.
Thank you.
Allah Dinanal. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The cat's out of the bag. All right, turn it off. That's good, man. That's a wrap. Alhamdulillah. Mute.